Welcome to PCMC Pop Culture Man Children. I'm your host, Mike Buongiorno. Not that one. I'm here with my good friend of yours, Mr. Vin Forte.
So you think that people listening to this podcast are going to be like, wait a minute, hold on.
Yeah.
I thought this was the Italian game show host.
Who's been dead for like 20 years.
Who's been dead for 20 years. Oh.
Yeah.
Leaving a bad review now.
Vin, let me tell you something. At least once a week, I get a care package of Gabagool. They send me the Gabagool. Vin, I'm excited to be here. Vin, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
You look great. Can I tell you? You look young. Yeah. You look like you look on top of the world. You've got color in your face. You look good.
Should we not have color in our face?
But no, you look like you're a bunny with a spring in his step.
Where are you going with this?
You look like you're a knee.
What shaggy dog road is this going down?
I'm saying you look healthy. I don't know if you want to talk about your health journey, but you've lost a little bit of weight. You look good.
This is the perfect. So I figured, you know what? I'm feeling good. I'm healthier now. What vice can I indulge in to blow all of that away? And I figured, let's watch the first episode of the Chevy Chase Show.
The Chevy Chase Show, one of late night's biggest failures.
Yeah.
The Xanadu of late night.
The Xanadu.
Let me come at you right now. I'm going to sling a hot take right at you right now.
Okay.
I don't think this is that bad. I don't get why we all, is it great? No. But I don't get how everyone was like, oh, this is an unmitigated disaster. It's not.
Okay, well, we watched
the Vin Pat is speechless.
Sajak show. Well, we watched the Pat Sajak show last episode.
We did watch the Pat Sajak show.
That was pretty bad, but in a different
way. Yeah.
That was like boring, and he was just not a natural comedic
person.
And there were 5 million guests, and it was an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
I agree that it's not as bad as people say it is.
Right.
What I will say is the parts of this that did not work are like cringe-worthy, embarrassingly bad.
Sure. But this famously ran for what, 6 episodes or something?
8 weeks?
No, 29 episodes. 29 episodes. That's not a lot. I feel like it could have found a groove. I think whether you love him or hate him, Chevy is a funny, charismatic comedian. And I think, you know,
I think he could have, unlike Pat Sajak, he could have found some sort of groove. There's some inspired choices in this episode.
Just like everything in Chevy's career, if he had gotten out of his own way, it would have been better.
Yeah, I think that's that's really the big takeaway. But let's start. Unlike the Pat Sajak show, where we kind of had to jump around because there wasn't a whole lot there that was funny or good. Let's start right from the beginning. So first off, before we even get to any of the intros.
Wait, before we do that, before you get into that, put a pin right in that. I just want to give a little bit of the info. So this comes out in 1993. So it's a few years after the Pat Sajak show. Yeah. This is Fox 5's. You know, they were, I guess in 93, still the newest network.
Yeah.
And trying to sort of find their way. And this was their attempt at, you know, the late night game. I think they originally asked Dolly Parton if she wanted a talk show, and she said no. And then they were like, because they were like, who's a huge name? And then eventually it got to Chevy. And on paper, this was a good idea. And people in the industry thought, oh, this is going to be good.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a whole, I mean, yes, we will jump ahead. There's a segment that he does where, like, he talks about and they show footage of them, like, christening the new studio. Like, they built this guy a whole new studio.
Yeah. They made a big deal out of this.
Yeah. But I will say, unlike the Pat Sajak show, where they just kind of said, like, oh, pick like a, almost like a create a player in a video game. Like, here's a create a set. Like, here's just like a blank set that like we were used years ago, and now you get it. This one, you could see like they put
it's an awesome set.
It's a pretty great set. We'll get to the touches in the set in a bit, but like the episode starts with him doing a cold open with he's doing the mouth hand thing,
yeah,
and he's like, oh, I don't feel so good. And they're like,
See, he
The
Signor
mouth
Luigi.
seeing the yeah, Signor Luigi, and like his mouth hand like vomits, and then it goes right into the opening, which is an amazing opening.
Because it's a groaner right off the bat.
Yes.
It's like the opening of the Dana Carvey show, where the letter, not I can't, I wonder why I keep saying Letterman. I was thinking about my 90s figures. Clinton breastfeeds like the baby dogs or whatever. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like, this is a crazy. That, see, that's the thing, man. This is, I feel like I'm gonna be the guy all episode where I'm like defending this. That's a crazy inspired nonsense, shocking, weird opening. It's a cold
Yeah.
open that's crazy.
Yeah, but then I'm saying like the actual like intro to the show is like really inspired.
Oh,
Like
it's stop
it's
motion?
great. Yeah, it's a stop motion thing where he the basically like a stop motion Chevy is running around various like landmarks of in Los Angeles
Yeah.
and ripping the letters off the signs to make his sign. And
Yeah.
it's like this is really fucking good.
It looks really good. It was, you know, but Fox was good at that. You know, like this set was very similar to the set to In Living Color. In fact, both are supposed to be rooftops.
Yeah.
And this was supposed to be a rooftop, even with, but there was also like a basketball hoop, which is a weird, there's a couple of weird ego things in here that
Yeah, like he
you
would take
can't
a
help.
shot when he came out of like a basketball shot.
Yeah, well that, okay, so he comes out he comes out, everyone's cheering. There's a guy there hanging out with a basketball, like dribbling. He passes to Chevy. Chevy tries to take a shot. He misses. And then he comes back again. And then we see a close up of the net and a ball goes in. I genuinely do not know if that's supposed to be a bit or it's a true ego thing of he wants us to think he got it in.
Right. I was wondering that
What's your
too.
take?
I think he just tried a bunch and didn't get it in, and they were just like, oh, fuck it. Like,
Well, part of me
whatever.
thought like he could have kept going. I mean, they edit these things. He could have just kept going until he got it. It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. It wasn't crazy enough that I was like, oh, I get the bit.
Right.
But again, it's a weird. But this is the weird Chevy ego of it, right? Because Chevy is a big Lakers fan, right?
Yeah.
Like he even like the he brought some of that into the Fletch movie. You know, it's a. All of his particular like ego things and interests come out in this, like his interest in jazz and his interest in basketball, his interest in kissing Goldie Hawn.
Yeah. But speaking of jazz, like so his so last episode we did the Pat Sajak show, he was a guest on that show.
Yeah.
Shockingly enough, we didn't know that when we picked it. And the band leader for the Pat Sajak show was Tom Scott,
Yes.
who's also now the band leader for the Chevy Chase show.
Yeah, this guy has he's over two
Over two, yeah.
in being a late night. And what do you think of the funny name of the band now?
Oh, the NBC band or whatever it was
Yeah, Tom
called?
Scott and the NBC band.
Yeah.
It's a Fox show.
I like it.
It's
I
not
like it. Like
bad.
it's not bad.
It's not bad. The announcer, the first thing he says is put your pants back on from Hollywood. It's the Chevy Chase show. Like the opening's great animation. It also has this like, not to like close read the opening of the Chevy Chase show, but the fact that he's like on rooftops and like stealing things, it has that very Fox in the 90s feeling of we're the underdog. Like we're the ones, they
Yeah,
don't
we're
want
going around
us.
at night, like just grabbing shit and trying to make it work.
Yeah, this is the show you no one wants you to see, that kind of feeling.
Yeah. But then we get into him actually having to tell jokes.
Well, wait,
And
first when he comes out, the announcer, the first of many cringeworthy SNL references, the announcer says he's still not
oh, he's
ready
still
for
not ready
prime
for prime
time.
time. Yeah.
Chevy Chase.
Yeah, and then here's where it kind of butts heads. I get what
Oh,
you're saying
wait.
when
I'm
it.
sorry to keep interrupting you. We forgot the audience starts going, Chevy, Chevy. And there's no
Oh,
way that was
Arsenio's crowd.
genuine. There's
No.
no way that wasn't prompted by the producer.
Oh, absolutely. But like to your point before, like I wonder if this show is definitely more dynamic, way more dynamic than the Pat
Sure.
Sajak show. I wonder if that's why initially you were saying that you enjoyed it more because the jokes are very like the thing that strikes me the most about the Chevy Chase show is you're right, there are these moments of like real like progressive comedy where it's like, oh, this is like actually very heady and interesting that they're doing this. But then it butts up against Chevy like being very like dad-like. Like he's telling dad jokes and he's like acting like a dad. Like he's very got a certain mode to him.
But he's also trying to maintain this idea that he's a big star. Like in his interviews, he tells anecdotes himself. Like it show like he can't let the spotlight be on the guests.
Right, Larry King actually has a really famous, a really good, like sort of notable quote where he's like, "I'm not the star of the show. I'm going to be here 5 days a week. But tell me about you. Like, I don't need to talk."
No, that's not what Chevy does. He makes so in his monologue, he says, "I'm boy, I'm excited to be here." And then he looks down to see if he has an erection. He makes a reference to Letterman. But then it's like a bait and switch because he's like, everyone's been talking about that other new talk show. Because Letterman, we should say, this show premieres a week after Letterman and a week before Conan. So it's right in the middle of this big switch up in the world of late night. He says, this other guy, I just don't think he's funny. The only time I laughed was at his hair. So obviously he's talking about Letterman, but then he goes, and I'll say it right now, we're gonna kick your ass, Ted Koppel.
Yeah, making a Nightline joke.
Right. So, but obviously he was talking about Letterman. The guests are Goldie Hawn, Whoopi Goldberg, and Sam Archer is the guy with the basketball. Is that anybody?
I don't even if he is, he's not notable enough that I really he's on my radar. But before we even get to the guests, you're forgetting. Well, he does two bits. One is the one where he's introducing the studio and everything, and that's actually pretty good. He like goes to put his hands in cement and they cut to him like falling in the cement because he's a he's a pratfall guy, so we gotta have that. It's like that's fine, it's like kind of middle of the road, it's Chevy, he's gonna fall into stuff. But then before they get to the Goldie Hawn interview, he does this really, I don't know what this was, where he's like, I've always been a fan of jazz, I want to kind of show that off to you right now. And he does this like Mumminshons, like I don't know what the fuck this was, where it's like three of his heads painted white, like a mime,
It's like
and
one of those
singing
like
like a
music.
jazz standard.
It's experimental. It's like one of those things you would. It's like the kind of thing you'd see like on Sesame Street as like an
Right,
interstitial.
but here's the thing, it's not funny.
No, but I don't. It's not trying to make jokes. I don't. It's not like trying to be funny. I don't think.
But that's the weird thing to me. Like, you're right. You're 100% right. He is not trying to be. He just said, like, this is something I want to do. I just want to do this. I have a TV show now.
And I want to
I can
do
put
it.
this on TV and I want to do it. And I guess, like, good on him for
We have to just try to
doing it.
describe this the best we can for the listener.
It's almost impossible. Again, like, it's sort of like a black background,
And his
but
face
then,
is
like,
painted white.
his face is painted white,
So
so
it's
it
like
stands out.
bouncing off. It's as if the face is floating in space.
Yeah, like a zombie kind of thing from Pee-wee,
Yeah, but there's
and there's,
three of them and they're
but
all
there's,
Chevy.
they're and they're all Chevy, and then they're all singing, and they're all kind of like moving around a little bit.
And they're all like a different kind of personality,
Yeah, it's
kind
like
of.
comedy drama kind of thing. But that goes, but it so that happens and it goes on like way too long, and the crowd like you can kind of hear in the background like in the first couple seconds like people are like ah like almost like is this supposed to be funny like I don't. What is this? And then there's just nothing. And then like polite applause afterwards, like, oh, okay, Grandpa showed us his Civil War collection or whatever it
But
was.
he also in this thing scats, and
Yeah.
it made me think going back to last week, we were talking about how on the Pat Sajak show he went and played with the band. It makes me feel like in the writers' room, he was like, guys,
I
I'm
do
really good at
jazz.
scatting, and we
Yeah,
should
I'm
try to
really
find
good
a
at
way
it.
to put this into the show. And they were like, okay. And these writers are like, fuck, I gotta write a sketch that somehow incorporates scatting.
Yeah,
How the
guys, when I
fuck
was in
do I do
college, I
this?
used to be in a band with Donald Fagen and Steely Dan, so
Yeah,
I kind of got chops. You should let me show them off.
is that true?
Oh yeah, like that's a famous like it's a fact, but people fuck up the fact. Like There's a million TikTok videos where it's like, did you know Chevy Chase was originally in Steely Dan? It's like,
Oh,
no, he
no, he
played
wasn't.
with one of the members in college
Yeah.
and he went off to do comedy and the other guy went off to do
Yeah.
music.
Maybe what we should do, not get too far into this, but for the youngster, you know, we get the Gen Z that listens.
Oh, yeah.
Talk a little bit about Chevy Chase, because if you know him at all, you probably know him as Pierce Hawthorne from when you watched when your grandma made you watch Community on
I was gonna
Hulu.
say you say that, but no one watched Community, so
Right,
like,
right. It's the only thing I can think of him like,
I mean, if you know Chevy, you know him from Saturday Night Live. I would imagine, like, even if you're a young
Or maybe you know
whippersnapper.
maybe Christmas Vacation. You know Christmas
But
Vacation?
yeah, that movie that's on 24 hours a year now.
Yeah, he's the dad from that. He was basically the breakout star of the first season of Saturday Night Live. He was handsome and funny, and people loved him. He was the first person to say live from New York at Saturday Night. He was the first person who did the news, the Weekend Update bit. He was the newscaster, and at the height of like, instead of like riding it out, he was so full of himself that after only one season, he leaves to go do movies. And meanwhile, the rest of the cast stayed on for at least like a couple more years before
Yeah.
they switched the cast up, and they still switched the cast up. But you know, like he was only on for 1 year. He was like he immediately left, and you know, he's got some great movies, but he's got a lot of misses. A lot of misses.
And by the time the Chevy Chase show came around, he had really been on a run of some big misses.
Oh,
And this
like
was,
is Invisible Man before or after this?
I would say, I think before.
Well, this is
But like
93.
that, Funny Farm,
Nothing But
Nothing
Trouble.
But Trouble. Like he was just on a Cops and Robbersons. Like this was not a good time to be a Chevy Chase fan.
Right, and he
But
wanted
this
to be a
was
leading
his,
man.
yeah, but like this was his big, like synergistic, like, oh, I'm gonna pivot and I'm gonna get into talk shows.
Yeah, this is the year after Invisible Man, which was a huge failure. And he's trying to be serious in that. So yeah, this is like the next big thing, so they think. But he still has his ego. And so the other thing to know about Chevy in his career is he makes tons of enemies. He's not a nice guy. He's mean to the people he works with. You know, he got kicked off of so many things. People don't like him. God, he
When he came back
slapped.
to host, when he came back to host SNL in the 80s, there was a the first like openly gay cast member,
Right.
and Chevy pitched a joke where throughout the show they would keep getting on a scale and seeing how much weight they lost from having AIDS. So
Yes.
that's Chevy Chase.
Right. Chevy Chase smacks people in the face. One of your favorite Christmas movies, actually, yeah, well, Home Alone, right? The reason we have Home Alone is because the director of Home Alone, John Hughes, was producing two Christmas movies, Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase and Home Alone. And he was directing what was he directing? No. I'm sorry. I'm screwing up. He was Home Alone's directed by Chris Columbus. It was his first like big thing. Chris Columbus was directing Christmas Vacation, which was being produced by John Hughes, and John Hughes was directing Home Alone. But Chevy Chase was so abusive to Chris Columbus, they switched. John Hughes was like, "All right, you know what? Let's switch movies. I could deal with Chevy. I'll direct Christmas Vacation, and you could direct Home Alone." And that's how we got Home Alone and Christmas Vacation. They literally switched because he was being so abusive to the. And you get there's tons of people in show business have stories of him just being a complete and total asshole to them.
Yeah.
But back to the Chevy Chase show. Did we talk about we? There's a clip of the honorary mayor of Hollywood gives him the key to the city.
Yeah.
This is what precedes him putting his supposed to be putting his feet and hands in cement. Again, it's like there's a lot of ego here.
Yeah, I need to show this clip of me getting the key of the city
Right, and
and
then
my own studio
my own
and.
studio, right. I wonder, it'd be funny if it's still named the Chevy Chase Studio. That'd be hilarious. Like, oh yeah, me and my Come see me. Me and my group. We're doing Waiting for
Doing the Cherry
Godot.
Chase. Yeah,
Oh
we're
yeah.
doing the
Where's
Cherry
that at?
Chase.
Oh, the Chevy Chase Studio.
Yeah, we're doing the Cherry Chase Black Box.
So we take our first break. Come back. He makes a joke about taking a shower and having to change because the last bit was him falling in the cement. It's kind of a fun meta joke because he's making fun of, like, obviously it's fake. Obviously it was pre-taped. We get into the fucking thing, the music video with the three faces. Guys, just go look this up. It's on YouTube. It's so
Yeah,
hard to describe. What they're going for, you tell me. Now the part of his set that's the that he's sitting at, I think this is cool too. It looks like
oh,
a den.
yeah, it's a den, but then like it's in the round almost.
Yeah,
And
there's
there's
a
a
fish
part that
tank behind
like
him,
yeah,
which is
like
cool.
the set can kind of like turn around
Yeah,
and like reveals
cool.
like a fish tank behind him.
Yeah, the
I don't know
fish
who's
tank behind him is
maintaining
actually
those
really cool.
fish. Like I heard, this is just a rumor, but like in later episodes, you could see like the fish are dead or something. Like
Oh
people
my
didn't,
God. Nobody's
because
job
that
was to
thing's
take care
high,
of the
so people
fish.
would have to like climb up and like feed the fish every day. Like,
That's crazy.
did you notice the same thing I did with this desk? Where when they show the like a studio shot from almost like an isometric shot of the desk,
Yeah.
when it's fully out and he's interviewing someone, the desk is like closed off. Like it comes around.
No, I didn't
So
see.
like the audience can't, like I'm like, can the audience see anything?
That's really weird. That's like when Obama was on The Daily Show and they had to like put some like bulletproof thing in front of him. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Maybe like he has a thing that doesn't want people looking at his legs or something. I don't know. Chevy's a weird guy.
Yeah, well, Goldie Hawn was showing her legs.
So Chevy had done a few movies with Goldie Hawn.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. So for this episode, for this first episode, every guest is someone that Chevy's like worked with and knows well, which is a smart thing to do for the first outing.
Yeah.
But the vibe between him and Goldie Hawn is
It's very,
flirty.
it's like they just fucked. Like,
It's too much.
there's a part where she keeps going, like, oh, I just want to kiss you. Like,
Yeah, she sings him a song and it's like kind of serious.
and then she like tears up.
Yeah, she.
I was, it was very, again, this is what I mean when I'm like, this show is very, like, butts heads of itself constantly. Like, it doesn't know what it
Yeah.
wants to be.
But again, that feels like an ego thing too. Like it feels like they're like
Oh, yeah, come out and sing
producers.
me a
Like
song.
when you go out there, you gotta worship Chevy. Chevy's the greatest guy you've ever seen. You gotta
Yeah.
sing this song to him, because so famously when I think either the last episode or one of the last episodes of Carson,
That's what I
Bette
was thinking of when
Midler,
she was singing. I'm like,
yeah,
Bette
Bette
Midler
Midler
sings in the
sings to
song.
Johnny Carson, and it's a big moment because he was leaving the Tonight Show after like 40
Yeah.
years or whatever, and America loved him. This is this guy's first episode. And this woman is singing some song of adoration to him. And it's a song called, like, Your Face, Your Beautiful Face,
Yeah,
or
like it wasn't
whatever.
even, because again, like it could have been a bit,
Right, but it's not.
but it's not. So
Right.
like you see there's a theme here at this show.
Right. Because it's like Chevy, while everything has got to be silly, at the same time, you have to take him seriously. Like, he'll be
Right.
silly. But don't you take me for a fool. You've got to
Well, it's
regard me with
like,
seriousness.
it's like the Conan Simpsons thing, Only I May Dance.
Yes. She tells some story. So anyway, there's a few awkward kisses. He introduces her as the other woman in my life. She comes out, they
Yeah.
do like a, and it's a little just peck on the lips, but it's weird that it's on the lips. And then after she kisses, they kiss on the lips again. And then they go out and oh, she
Oh,
sings
it's her
the song.
son's birthday.
This guy's an actor too now. This is Oliver Hudson, who's on, I think, General Hospital.
Okay, well here he's just in the audience and apparently it's his birthday and they do this weird thing where they bring out this big sheet cake and they drop it right in front of him like, "Oh, sorry, your cake is
Very
destroyed."
cheap ass Chevy joke.
But then they bring out a new cake and they start like dancing, like him and Goldie Hawn like dance into the break like fucking two parents.
Yeah, that's the crazy
But
thing. It goes, it's not, it, you think it's going to be into the break, but it goes for a while.
it
They're
goes for a
just
while, and
dancing.
then did you have the same thought I did, which is, so they have someone bring out the new sheet cake and put it on his lap.
Yeah.
So is he just sitting there the whole rest of the episode of that big ass sheet cake?
I guess. It's also weird because, like, they're like, okay, Chevy's gonna drop the cake, but then they bring out an exact identical cake. Like, okay, here's your real cake. So
That's
it's
what I
also
mean. So, like, are they going to cut that cake up during the commercial break and hand it
maybe,
out to people? Like,
maybe, but it's also like, you know, Chevy probably was like, I gotta cut the cake. I gotta drop the cake. And then the producer's like, yeah, but we're trying to make you look a little bit like a nice guy, so let's bring out a second cake. But
yeah,
either
it
way,
doesn't. They should have
it's
dropped it on him. They should have agreed beforehand, like, here's what the bid is.
right. It's we're singing happy birthday to this, and they sing happy birthday, we didn't say. They're singing happy birthday and bringing a birthday cake on the first episode of the Chevy Chase show to this kid nobody knows who's Goldie Hawn's son. And then they dance and kiss in front of him. And this man is not his father.
No, and not only is he not his father, I did you notice he kisses him too?
Yes, he give yeah, he gives yeah, he says like when he first met him, he was just a kid or whatever.
Yeah.
They dance to La Bamba. It's super weird.
Sure.
Well, but why? I really want to know what like the idea, what went wrong here? Was it supposed to be into the break and they just want shorts? So like, let's just show them dancing more.
Well, again, I think it would just it's an ego thing. Like, no, I'm gonna only I may dance. Like, we will quite literally dance for the next 3 minutes
Well,
because
that's
we
funny that you
can.
say that. That makes sense because there's another ego thing that comes later that's so weird. But
Oh yes. Oh God.
there's another break. We come back. Chevy's at the desk. He tells us who's on tomorrow. Jason Priestley, Beverly D'Angelo, plus his favorite doo-wop group, The Enchanters. Then he's supposed to talk about the bit that's coming up after, but he kind of fumbles it. Then we take another break and we come back, and here is the most shameless thing, which is it's weekend update. They call it news
Yeah.
update, but it's its own set. It's got clocks in the background, like the weekend update. Well, did they ever have that? Yes, they did.
Yeah.
But it's like a news desk. It's clearly he's doing weekend update. I mean, he
Yeah.
even begins with one of his famous jokes, which is he begins, he says, "Good evening, I'm Chevy Chase," and then he doesn't say anything. But then someone in the audience goes, "And you're not," and he like makes a face. So I'm like, is he not allowed to say that, or is he showing some restraint? But then a second later, he doesn't show any restraint because he says the classic joke, "This just in, Generalissimo Francisco Franco is still dead," which was a running thing he did on SNL. So in case you don't get it, we're doing SNL Weekend Update now.
Yeah, which I'm fine with. Like, that's what Seth Meyers does now. Like,
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people do this now.
this
But
was honestly like
somehow
the most
this
one of the
feels
most
cheap.
inspired things on the show because this takes what he does best, and it's like, okay, we're gonna lean into that. We're gonna be a little different.
I don't
Like,
know.
if we're gonna do this every night, like this is gonna be like honestly the
This is
this
your top
should this
10
should be his
list.
monologue. Right, this is your top 10
Right,
list.
you're right, by the way. It should just be his monologue.
Yes.
I agree. I agree. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was good, but I don't know. Part of me felt kind of like, all right. Like it felt like we got a lawsuit on our hands here. Lorne Michaels has a lawsuit on his hands. He does a Michael Jackson joke with way too long a setup, but he talks about them singing ha at a he turned 35 and the audience sang happy birthday to him. And then he goes, "Even though I'm 35, I still feel like a 13-year-old." And the audience groans. A few jokes about the Middle East, a homophobic joke about the military with the punchline, "Don't ask, don't tell, and don't bend over for the soap." So, gay people fuck you in the ass is the joke, folks.
Yeah.
He makes a joke about the LA riots and Reginald Denny, who was a guy who was beaten during the LA
Oh,
riots, and he calls him
yeah.
Reginald Pinata Denny.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
He makes a joke about the gay Ken doll, Earring Magic Ken, and he
Okay.
ties it back into the military joke from earlier. He makes a joke about the Ziploc finger man. Okay, so
Yes.
in the 90s, Ziploc, you know what a Ziploc bag is. You
Yeah,
have to press
the
the top
label.
and it closes it. So there was a ad campaign with like the finger man, which was like just a person's finger and at the tip of it like a little smiley face drawn on. And I guess like I don't remember totally, but he would like talk. There was a lot of this. Like there was the Pizza Hut guy, which was basically Mr.
With
Bill.
Stickley, there was a
Yeah,
lot of
there was
this
a lot
shit.
of this shit. So he says, so that was like a spokesperson kind of. That was a this is what people talk about in 1993, and he
Yeah,
doesn't
I'm
go.
surprised he didn't have a fucking Snapple lady joke.
Yeah, but he has a good. So the joke's not bad. He goes, we got some sad news. The Ziploc finger man has passed away. He survived by his family, and then it's a picture of like the four other
The
fingers
four other fingers.
with frowny faces on it, and I genuinely
I
laugh.
like that. I like that.
That's a good bit. And you're right. He's on fire in this moment. He's comfortable
That's what
doing
I'm saying. He's in his element.
Yes, this is what he's good at. There's a certain disconnection between him and the jokes in that format, which I think works for him. See, he's trying to be, or they're trying to make him too nice, and he's not nice. That's the thing.
Right, and people like a bad boy. Like,
Yes.
have him lean into being an asshole.
He should have leaned into being an asshole. But now he does something super weird, which do you want to talk about this?
So, are we talking about the next guest, or are we talking
No, I'm
about?
talking about he ends the news sketch or the news bit, and then he just stays there and he just looks at the camera, not saying anything. And it's awkward. And then he like smiles at the camera, and then he picks up the papers and he's like playing with the papers, and then he's like playing with his pencil, and it's going on so long. And it makes me think he said, you know, I'm so funny, I don't even need to talk. I bet I can have the audience eating out of my hand. Because you had this whole well-written bit, and then instead of cutting it,
You just bring it to a grinding halt.
you bring it to like almost 2 minutes of silent mugging. And it's so, it reeks, it smacks of such ego to be like, oh, I'm
Yeah.
gonna do watch. I don't even need to talk.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page in that when I came into this episode, my big thing with it was going to be like, there's a lot of very cringy moments on this show. Like, there's stuff that could work or
Yeah.
even does work. Like, unlike the Pat Sajak show, but like there's a lot, but when it bombs, this show bombs hard. I think what
Yes.
we're learning is that it's way more, it's still cringy, but a lot of it's probably way more just his ego.
I enjoyed this better than last week we talked about what do you call it?
Pat Sajak.
No, but who was the person guys, I've been working all day and it's been hard. my brain is not working right now.
The
James
commissioner of
Corden.
baseball that was on?
No, we're talking about James Corden. I
Oh,
asked you if the
yes,
Pat
James
Sajak show
Corden.
was better or worse than James
Oh,
Corden.
I think this is the Chevy Chase show better than James Corden for sure.
This isn't bad. I don't know.
It just needed like tweaking.
I mean, maybe it got worse. We are just talking about the first episode. It's possible that it got worse with every night, but
Possible it got better with every.
well, you're right. It's possible and perhaps likely that it got better because he probably got more used to the role. It's just the weird thing is that like people talk about this like they talk about Geely or Ishtar. People talk about this like this is one of the most well-known huge gaffes in showbiz history, and it's
Well,
like why?
you know what it is, because you bring up Geely as well, and that's another great example of all of these things that people say are the worst ever. It's not the worst ever.
Right.
Did these things take big swings and ultimately miss? Yes.
Yeah.
But are they like so uninteresting that you're going to be bored to tears? Like, that to me is the worst ever. When
Yeah.
something is just so like fucking boring, where like there's just no ambition to it. There's nothing interesting that you could even talk about. Like
Yeah.
Pat Sajak's show last episode, we were like Googling other comedians that could be on that show at that time just to like get something, inject something in. Like, we're helping you out, Pat Sajak.
Yeah.
This episode, it's like there's at least like stuff going on. Like, he's like whoever's producing the show or Chevy himself, like, it's not for lack of trying. Like, they have ideas. They're
And
full of ideas.
it looks good. He looks good. Do you think it's the 90s, right? The weird, wild, extreme 90s. Do you think that part of it could be this is a moment where he's not cool anymore?
I think that's a very big part of it. Because again, like, nowadays we look at age so much differently.
Yeah.
Like, we look back at our even like we look back at our parents in the 80s. And we're like, why did you dress like that? And like, oh, because that was just the style. The style was always to simultaneously look older if you're younger,
Yeah.
but then when you hit a certain point, it completely inverts. where it's like, oh no, if you're above 40, like you can't look like gray hair. Get those gray hairs out of there. Like if you, even if you're turning, even if your
Chevy
hair is,
looks like a dad.
get out of there. Exactly. Like if you look like a dad, like remember that Kids in the Hall sketch where it's like he's cool, he's hip, he's 40. Like it's kind of like that, where it's like that joke. It's great because we know it's Kids in the Hall and we get the context, but like in a vacuum, that doesn't work today.
Well, if Chevy were, the age he was in 1993 now, he would have a personal trainer. He would have nice arm definition. He would have hair plugs for his kind of like a fading hairline.
Yeah. I
He
mean,
looks
he
like a
was, to be
regular
fair,
guy.
he was almost, he was, I think, 48. He was like knocking on 50 at the time.
But how old's Paul Rudd? Right? And he looks younger than
Right,
me.
exactly. And he's Ant-Man.
Exactly. I don't know if you know this. You know what one of the biggest mistakes Chevy Chase ever did? He turns down American Beauty.
Yes, I know that. Like, that's
And you know
insane.
what? He would have been perfect in the role that Kevin Spacey played.
Yeah, both bad guys.
These are both not good guys. But as far as as far as I know, I could be wrong. Chevy didn't Me Too anybody. He hit
No.
people and he was an asshole and he was homophobic and he was, everything. But I've never heard like sexual harassment about from him.
No, I would even argue that Chevy is probably a really nice guy personally, but just he's one of those guys that just like his style of humor and just like affability is like, oh yeah, I make fun of you, but I make fun of you because I like, inside it's like I make fun of you because I like you.
Yeah, like is it, I think Rob Riggle, the comedian Rob Riggle, was it Rob Riggle? One of the Daily Show guys. Who was the one who was also in the military?
Rob Riggle.
Rob Riggle tells a story where he was backstage somewhere and Chevy Chase was there and he never met him. And he was like, oh my God, Chevy Chase is my hero. I'm gonna meet my hero. And he walks up to him and he's like, Chevy, I'm a comedian. I'm on the Daily Show. My name is Rob Riggle. Chevy turns to him and full smacks him in the face. And Rob Riggle was like, I did not know what to do. He just full on smacked me in the face and it hurt. But he could tell that Chevy thought it was a bit,
Yeah.
which means he's probably done that a
That's what I
bunch of
mean.
times.
Like, that's what I mean. Like he probably,
He's like, I'm
I think
mean,
we're,
that's my bit.
well, we're also hitting on something inadvertently that is like the real crux of why he doesn't work in late night is because even with Letterman and like the whole, oh, he's sarcastic and he's like cynical, you could tell when he's being a real person. Like there's nothing inherently fake about David Letterman
Well,
when he's
you
having a
don't
real
mind being tucked
conversation.
into bed by Letterman, and people didn't want to be tucked into bed by Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
It's
But
that
like,
thing.
but Chevy, like, he can't be sincere. You don't know when he's being sincere, and he can't move in and out of those lanes interchangeably without you taking a full minute to be like, wait, is he being serious? Is he
No,
like,
you're right. Well, all right, so his next guest is Whoopi Goldberg.
oh boy.
She comes and gives him a gift. He
It's her
does some shtick with the
shoes.
wrapping paper. It's high heels. And she says, oh, so she had had a talk show herself that failed.
Yeah.
So she's like, these are the high heels I wore on the first episode of my show. He smells the shoes. Okay.
Yeah, whatever. Like,
She tells an anecdote about a guest who farted when she was talking to him. She doesn't say who it was. She tells a story about Wayne Newton. Chevy makes a joke implying that he thinks Wayne Newton isn't a good person. Whoopi's very friendly with him. They're obviously very friendly. It's not the flirty thing with Goldie Hawn, but
yeah.
they seem to respect each other comedically. It's smart to use someone like her because it makes him look likable.
Yeah.
Like to have guests that like him, I think, is
It
a
lets the
smart thing.
audience in a little more.
Yeah. She talks about her daughter getting married in Vegas. He has a good joke. Whoopi says, it's hard being a single parent. And Chevy goes, I know my wife is a single parent. Which it's not a bad joke.
No.
They take another break. There's more Whoopi. They talk about jazz. Whoopi asks Goldie Hawn to come out. I mean, they tried to make this look like it's not staged, but obviously it is. She comes out and Whoopi says, like, a lot of fans come up to me and they get nervous and they call me Goldie. because my like because her name is Whoopi
Yeah.
Goldberg, so they just whatever. And
That's
then
the yeah.
she but she bemoans it too much. It's not that funny. She's like, look, she's white, I'm black, she's Goldie, I'm not Goldie. It just goes on a bit too much. She tells the audience, look at us, we're different. Whoopi calls herself Whoopi starts to refer to herself in words that a white person can't say, but Chevy
Yeah.
says to them.
Oh, Chevy has no problem saying them.
Chevy has no problem saying one of these words. We take another break. Now it's Chevy, Whoopi, and Goldie. He does a bit where he says he got letters of congratulations. This is a fun little desk bit. He got one from the Clintons, but the punchline is like, yours
From
truly,
Chelsea.
Chelsea. Not much of a joke there. Another one is Chevy, take a big dump. Roseanne and Tom. It's not
Yeah.
bad. It's topical for the time. He makes some political reference I do not get. He thanks the guests, and the music plays off, and that's it. That was the first episode of the Chevy Chase Show.
Yeah.
I got to go back and watch Hats Off Entertainment, which is a YouTube channel I like a lot.
Yes,
Did
they did a whole thing.
they did a whole thing about it, and I want to go and look because he I think he's I like Hats Off Entertainment. He does Forgotten Failures, which this is one of the Forgotten Failures. He also does Almost Cult Classics. It's good kind of video essay stuff. I want to go back and watch because I do want an idea of like where it went wrong. Because this isn't a terrible first episode. This is, I think, works better than Conan's first episode. We were saying last week,
Yeah.
Conan grew into this amazing voice, but we really gave him the room to grow.
Yeah, absolutely.
My hot take is the Chevy Chase show is good. That's my hot take.
I don't know if it's, I don't know if I could go so far to say it's good. I would say
It's
that
good.
you're like, I'm sticking with it. It's
I'm
good.
sticking with it. Look, he's not a good person, but
No.
this show looks good. It's lively. It's exciting. I don't. I mean, it could be because I watched it the day after I watched the Pat Sajak show,
I
so
was just
anything
about to
would have been an
say,
improvement.
like I watched this after the Pat Sajak show as well, and it's like, man, this is the Pat Sajak show was like fucking wallpaper, and this was at least like, even if it's a party you don't want to be at or it's a bad party, it still felt like a party compared to Pat Sajak.
You're right. Did feel like a party. Pat Sajak felt like a Sunday afternoon at your grandma's house where there's like neighbor ladies over and like you got to be visiting.
Pat Sajak felt like the difference between these two shows. Pat Sajak was like when your parents and grandparents have a dinner party, and like people are sitting around after dinner, and they break out the Andes mints and the Entenmann's box,
Right.
and they're just gonna have
I wish it
fun.
was as good as Entenmann's, though. But we
Just
were
gonna have
saying
some nice
last week,
coffee.
Chevy was the guest, oddly enough, and Chevy was the best part of that episode.
Yeah.
He keeps making jokes and lightening things up.
Yeah, but again, like it definitely has potential. Like you don't walk away from the show being like, oh, well, there's just nothing here. Like I don't even want to tune in next week.
If they ever, reissue all of Chevy Chase show on Blu-ray HD, there'll be a PCMC quote on the cover. All right, so before we go, I want to draw the curtain back and tell the folks at home what we were going to do, but we ended up scrapping because it almost is impossible to find. You had this idea, Vin.
Yeah, it was going to be the pilot of the Magic Johnson talk show, The Magic Hour,
Right, which it
which
was
was another Fox vehicle,
and a disaster.
and a disaster in 1998. We may still do that may be the next one we
If we
do, but
could
it's not going to
find
be the
it.
pilot. Well, it's not going to be the pilot.
Well, but there's not even that many episodes. In my looking around, I think I found like two or three episodes.
Yeah, there's not that many out there. I scoured high and low to find the actual pilot
And it's
and could
nowhere.
not, but there is like a full episode that's just like an average episode of it that'll give you a sense of what it was about. And
And the
then
big
there's the
thing,
episode with
yeah,
Howard Stern, and the
right. I was going to
reason
say
that's
the big thing
important,
is the Howard Stern thing, which, by the way, looking back now, Howard Stern does not come out of it looking good.
basically the long and short of the Howard Stern thing is that like every morning Howard Stern would just rag on the Magic Hour and just make fun of it.
But he would
And
make age jokes and he would do his really old fashioned, quote unquote, black guy voice.
yeah. Yeah,
It
he doesn't come out of it looking good at all.
all aged very poorly. And then in a smart move by Magic Johnson, they invited this guy who's just been making fun of him every day onto the show.
Yeah.
And
Unfortunately, it's the only notable episode of his entire
right.
show, but
Yeah. And Sheila
he
E. was
did
his
it.
band, the
Which,
band
I
leader.
mean, amazing choice. Like,
Yeah.
you got to give it up to whoever made that call. But yeah, Magic Johnson, not a great talk show host. Who would have guessed?
Yeah. Who would have guessed? If anyone out there has the first episode of the Magic Hour or any episodes besides Howard Stern one, drop into our DMs. I'd be interested in looking at that.
Give it to us. Come on. Or any talk show ideas that you want to see us do. Any like local regional talk? We'll do the Joe Franklin show. We'll do Tony Bonaducci's talk show. Like
The Magic Hour is just it's not a great name either.
the magic. This is where the magic happens. Key and Ivory Wayans had a talk show for a little bit around that time. We
Did
could do his
he?
show. We could do some of the morning show, like the Tempest Bledsoe.
Oh, well, the morning, you're going forever. Ricky Lake. That
Yeah,
actually was successful.
Ricky Lake was successful. Donnie and Marie's morning show, where their big episode, I believe, was like getting a Gilligan's Island reunion. It felt like if you were like a
Yes, I
B tier
remember
talk
that.
show, it was interesting. Like
Roseanne
every,
had one.
but like yes, but like didn't it seem like every D tier talk show, when they had nothing else, it would be like, hey, let's reunite people who are on like a sitcom. We'll do a Bewitched reunion. We'll do a Gilligan's Island
Roseanne
reunion.
did that because her sitcom had ended, and she did like a reunion with the sitcom family.
Yeah. What was that one? I think Hats Off Entertainment did a video. It might have been someone else. I think it was someone else did a it was a show on FX, had a morning show hosted by Tom
Really?
Bergeron and someone else called like Morning Breakfast or something like that. It had like a puppet sidekick and it was like filmed inside of a real, there was no one in the apartment, but it was the whole thing was filmed in an apartment in Manhattan. So like
Really?
it was the camera was like very dynamic. It was like always going around different
What about the
places.
Tom Green show? We should talk about that at some point.
Which one?
The good one and the other one. I'd talk about both.
Yeah, the good one and the other one that he did like a couple of years later when it was the moment had passed.
Yes, the moment
And
had
it was
very
like
much
more
passed.
conventional too. Like it didn't work.
Yeah, it was very weird. It was very weird, the second one. But the first one was revelatory, I think.
Oh yeah.
Well, Vin, we watched the Chevy Chase show. That's a thumbs down for Vin. That's a thumbs up for me. Good
What do
family
you think?
fun.
Let us know.
Vin, let's put this one to bed. We end every episode by saying,
Go bye bye.